Okay. Amen. Appreciate the good singing. Thankful to the Lord for His blessings. Thankful to be back in His house this evening, that we could come together and unite our hearts in worship. Praise the one that's worthy of all honor and all glory. If you're here tonight and you're lost, my prayer for you is that you will be saved. And not just that you'll be saved, but my prayer is that you'll be saved tonight. Because, and I hope that you will think about that. If you are lost tonight, you need salvation tonight. You don't need to think about needing salvation tomorrow or a week from now or a month from now. You need to be saved tonight. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I want to share some scripture with you from the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. I want to read tonight from some scripture that I made reference to a few nights ago. And I want to begin reading with the first verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Please pray for me tonight. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. That's reading 13 verses, the first 13 verses from 2 Chronicles 20 for a scripture reading. I want to speak to you tonight about human limitations. And we certainly are limited as human beings. God knows no limits. God is all powerful, has all power in heaven and in earth. But we as people have great limitations. I want to talk to you tonight in this message about things that we cannot change, things that we don't have any control over. There's a common phrase, a cliche that we hear in our society a lot of times when somebody is talking to someone else about a certain situation, and they say, well, it is what it is. And there are a lot of things with you and I that it just is what it is. And we heard last night here in a testimony about the realities of life. And there are things that are very much realities to us as human beings. Sometimes I think we forget about them or we fail to recognize them. But there are things that the Bible tells us about the human life that are absolutes, that cannot be changed, and by us anyway, that cannot be changed by us. And I think that when I read these verses, what I find here is that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he found himself and these people in a situation that he didn't feel that they had any power to change it. There were some, as we read in these verses, that when the Moabites and the Ammonites began to form and launch this attack against the children of Judah, there were some that came to Jehoshaphat and they informed him and warned him that there was a great multitude that was coming after him. And I want you to think, as we think of some things in these verses and try by the help of God to draw some parallels out of this. I want you to think with me, if you're here tonight and you're lost, that there is something coming after you. There is something that's well on its way. There's something that you are facing that you cannot change. And I believe that Jehoshaphat felt this way about this great army that he was told was coming there. They were coming to destroy them. Jehoshaphat was aware that death was on the way, because we have read here in the 12th verse that he asked the Lord to judge these people. Lord, won't you judge them, because we don't have any might against this great company of people. Jehoshaphat seemed to understand that there was nothing that he could do to change the situation. I mean, these people were coming. They were on their way. They were they outnumbered Judah, and there was no way that Jehoshaphat could do anything to stop them. He knew that they were certainly on their way and that they were going to get there, and when they got there, that they were going to be in big trouble. And so what he did was, Jehoshaphat and all of the people here, they did the right thing. They turned to the Lord. I want you to think about one of the things that you and I cannot change. Friend, listen, you cannot change the fact that you're a sinner. You can't change your nature. You know, that's one of the great reasons that salvation by works won't work, because we can't do enough things good to change the nature that we have. You know, there are things, the Pharisees did this. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees about this in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. And there were things that they would do to change themselves externally. There are things about your life that you might be able to change. If you eat too much, maybe you can cut down and not eat so much. There are things that have to do with nothing but the flesh that we can make some changes in our lives. But friends, you cannot change your sinful nature. And you cannot change your soul. And you're not capable of doing anything that will change it. We are sinners. We are born into this world with the very nature of sin. Psalm 51:5, David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And David wasn't talking about an illegitimate conception or anything like that. He was saying, when I was conceived, the very moment that I was conceived in my mother's womb, I had that sinful nature right from the start. I was shapen in iniquity and in sin, my mother conceived me. The Bible also tells us that we're born into the world with that sinful nature. We come forth from the womb. As soon as we are born, we come forth from the womb speaking lies. I know it's hard for us to look at little babies. Lord knows I love little babies. I mean, they're beautiful. But when we look at a little human baby, the truth is that we're looking at a little sinner. We're born that way. We have that nature. We know that there is a time that God protects them. We know that there is a time in infancy, but for most people, it's at a very young age that God calls us to account for our sins. And from that very moment that God calls us to account, we are responsible to Him, and we all are going to answer to the Lord. You know, you're not going to change that, friend. You are not going to change that no matter what you do. You are not going to change the fact that one of these days you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account unto Him. The Bible says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and we must give an account unto Him for the things that we have done in the body, whether they be good or bad. And you can run to the ends of this earth, but the time is coming when we're going to all stand before the Lord. And there's not a thing that you can do to change that. God created man in a holy and a happy and an upright state. God gave man a law to keep, and man transgressed that law, and he brought sin upon himself and upon all his posterity. And as by one man, and that man being Adam, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The scripture hath concluded all under sin. We have verse after verse in the Bible that teaches us that we are all guilty of sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that God looked down from heaven upon the children of men. He looked down to see if there were any that were righteous. And you know what he observed? There wasn't one. There is none there is none righteous. There is none that seeketh after God. They are altogether filthy. And Isaiah said that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, the Bible went to great lengths. God's word goes to great lengths to show us that we are everyone guilty before God. Every one of us guilty of sin. And the penalty for that is death. We can't do anything about the fact that we're sinners. We cannot change it ourselves in any way. But there is one that can, and I certainly want to talk about him before I'm finished. You can try as hard as you want to try, and you will never change your sinful nature. Brother Forshee used the scripture last night there from Ephesians chapter 2 that teaches us plainly that it's God that does that. And you hath he quickened. You hath God made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh among the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see, that's what our nature is. We are not children of God by nature. The world today, many even among the religious world, friends, they've got it all wrong. There are those that say that we are all children of God, but we're not all children of God. We are all God's creation. Yes, we are his creation. But those that are God's children have been created over. We've been created in Christ Jesus. If you've not been created in Christ Jesus, then you're not God's child. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? Not a little bit of his, he is none of his. And so we all, Paul said, we all had our conversation in times past. Lost friend, listen, there's not a person here tonight. There's not a person in this congregation tonight that has been saved by God's grace that would dare tell you that we were not at one time lost. We all were. I remember when I was lost. I remember when I was separated from God. And all of us here tonight that have been saved can recollect that time. We were once lost. But now we're found. We were once blind, but now we see. We're sinners. And the wages or the penalty of sin is death. Romans 6 and 23 puts it that plainly. The wages of sin is death. We'll finish the rest of the verse here in a little while. When God gave the commandment to Adam, when he told him of that one tree, that tree there in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when he told him that he was not to eat of that, he also told him that there would be a penalty if he did. You see, when God gives us a commandment, when God gives us a law, sometimes I believe, and I'm afraid sometimes even as God's people, we think that we can take something that God has commanded and just choose to do it or not to do it and get by with it either way. But I'll tell you, when God commands something, if you disobey what God commands you to do, there's going to be a penalty paid for that disobedience. We're going to pay the penalty. God gave Adam a law. He also gave him a penalty. And that penalty was that in the day that you eat of this, that you are surely going to die. And when he did transgress God's law, that's exactly what happened to him that day. He became spiritually separated from God. And later on, he faced physical death as well. But the wages of sin is death. And you can start right there from the book of Genesis and what happened in the garden. And you can chase it all the way through the Bible. And there are two things that you cannot separate and that's sin and death. You cannot separate the two of them. The penalty for sin is death. So friends, listen tonight, because that we are sinners. If you're here tonight and you're a lost sinner, because the fact that we're sinners, we're going to die. We're going to face death. And did you know what? There's nothing you can do to change that. Nothing. If you look in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8, well, first let's think for just a moment about what death really is. Death is a separation. Natural death is the separation of the body and the spirit. That's what James said. The body without the spirit is dead. When the spirit leaves, the body is separated from the body is dead. That's what brings about natural death. It's the departure of the spirit from the body. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to change the fact that, friends, listen, that is a reality. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And it's coming, friends. Listen, it's coming towards you with rapid speed. It is coming towards you. I hope and pray that you will believe that tonight, that you are facing death. You are facing the day when you're going to leave this world. And when that spirit and that body separates, when that time comes, Solomon in Ecclesiastes 8 and 8, I believe it is, he said, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither has he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. You can't do anything to stop it. You know, I'll tell you how Job looked at it. You look at Job chapter 14, verse 15. And Job said, thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. That's what we'll do, isn't it? That's what every one of us will do. God will call, and we're going to answer. When that time comes, there's not one of us. Lost friend, listen, when that time comes, there's nobody that's going to be able to retain that spirit. There's nobody that's going to be able to hang on to that spirit. There is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and we don't have power in the day of death. I'll tell you what, you could be, when the time comes, when God calls you out of this life, when that time comes, when God calls that spirit out of that body, you could be in some place surrounded by the 100 best physicians in the world with all of the most sophisticated medical equipment and life-saving machines that they could possibly have. And when God calls you out of this life, there's not a thing they could do to stop it. Nothing. I had a man one time, and this may sound funny, but I had a man one time that told me that he believed that medical science would one day reach the point where people could just go to the doctors and they just keep them living and living and living and living. It's not going to happen. We're going to die. Can't do anything to change that. You're going to face death. If you face death, lost and without God, you're going to spend eternity in hell. You're going to spend eternity separated from God. You're not going to have any opportunity after that to make things right with God. Amen. There's a man that we read about in the Bible in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We read about a rich man that died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And you know that once he was there, there was not a thing he could do to change the fact that he was there. Nothing. He's still today crying out from the depths of that horrible place, and there's not a thing he can do about the condition that he's in. He can't do anything to change it. But you know, when Jehoshaphat saw that they were in trouble, and lost friend, tonight I hope that you will see that you're in big trouble. You're in trouble. I mean, you have the appointment of death upon you. We're dying because it's appointed to us. It's appointed to us to die because of our sin. And if you're lost without God, you can't do anything to change that, and you're in big, big trouble. Big trouble. I hope you believe that you're in big trouble. The worst trouble that you're ever going to know. But you know what? The Lord can change it. Paul went on there in Romans chapter 6. He said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, Jesus came here and he faced death head on and he defeated it. And through him, you can as well. Jesus came and he died on the cross for our sins. He died as a propitiation or a substitute for our sins. Jesus shed his blood there on the cross of Calvary that he might make the atonement for the sins of the whole world. And then after he died on the cross, they took him down and they buried him there. And on scheduled time, after the 3 days had passed there, on the third day, he rose from the dead. And when he got up from the grave, he had the keys of death and hell. I mean, friends, listen, he faced death and he conquered it. Have you ever thought about what a pitiful place the grave would be if Jesus hadn't visited it? It would be a cold, dark dungeon that would claim our bodies forever had not the Lord went there and visited the grave and cleaned it up. And now, through him, and for those of us that are saved, I want you to know that when your body is placed to rest in the grave, that it won't be anything more than a place to wait for the resurrection. That's all. Just a place for the body to wait the time that God will call it forth out of death. Jesus rose from the dead. He, after proving himself alive by his after his passion, by many infallible proofs, one day as his disciples stood by, they watched him ascend back to heaven to be with God, and he is there right now. He is seated there right now at the right hand of God, making intercession for our prayers. And the Lord looks down from heaven now because everything has been done necessary in order for you to be saved. And the Lord sits there in heaven and he invites you, lost friend. He invites you unto him. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." He invites you to come. He looks down and he says, "I know you're lost. I know that you're facing death. I know that you're damned. I know that you're on your way to eternal hell. And I know that there's nothing that you can do about it. But you can come to me and I can change it. You can come to me and I can save you with an everlasting salvation. You can come unto me and I can take this sin is going to cause you to lose your soul, and I can take my blood and wash it away from you and make you whole. Lost friend, you're on my heart tonight. You need to be saved. You need that only the Lord can give you. Can you think with me here for a moment about this man, about this king, and about this group of people that they knew that they were soon going to be annihilated. They knew that they were soon going to be overrun. They were soon going to be killed. Jehoshaphat called them all together. They came out of every city of Judah to ask the Lord to help them. They came there together and they began to pray. They began to call upon the name of the Lord. They saw that there was nothing they could do about it. They saw that there was nothing they could do to give them salvation, to give them deliverance. They knew that they were outnumbered. They knew that they were going to be defeated. They came together and they united their hearts in prayer. And they begin to call upon God there in the temple, in the house of the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood before them and began to pray. And he begged God to take care of it. Lord, you come. You judge these people because we don't have any might against them at all ourselves. Friends, that's the way it is for you. With your sin and the death that you're facing, you don't have any power against it at all. Your only hope is in the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Jeremiah asked these questions. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? And you know what the answer is? No, they can't. The Ethiopian can't change the color of his skin. The leopard can't change his spots. And Jeremiah went on and said, if they could, then you that are accustomed to doing evil could do good. But we can't. We cannot change the fact that we're guilty of sin. We can't work our way out of this trouble. We can't do anything about the fact that we're going to have to die and leave this world. But we can humble ourselves before the Lord and seek Him, and God can save your soul. God can make the change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You hear it all the time. If you've been in very many Baptist services at all, I know you've heard this. I know you've heard the preachers get up and preach, and they say, you don't know if you have a promise of another day. Well, I'm going to tell you that again tonight because it's true. You don't know if you have promise of another day. You could sit here and you could say, well, preacher, you know, I was here the last time somebody said that, and I'm still here. Well, you better thank God that you are. But you know what? There are people that have left the world today. Since we left here last night and before we came back tonight, people have died and they left the world. No doubt there have been many that have died and left the world, and they were lost. They were not ready. And there's nothing at all that they can do about it now. They can't change it now, and God isn't going to change it. He's only going to give you that opportunity while you live and breathe here in this world. Let's have a song.